Please open your Bible to the book of Judges, chapter 6. Judges, chapter 6. I'd like to read a few verses there, and then I'd like to read chapter 7. Judges, chapter 6, beginning reading at verse 33. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who was also gathered after him, and he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. Now chapter 7, verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. The Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And that shall be, that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, Every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand, and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Purah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream, and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped, and returned into the host of Israel, and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah in Zererath, and to the border of Abdel-Meholah unto Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan." Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. And they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side, Jordan. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great story in our Old Testament. We pray that you would help us to understand it. I pray that you would help us to find the message here for our hearts. We love you, and we thank you that we can be together this morning. These things we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We've been following the story of Gideon over the last month or so, and this morning we come to the high point, the famous victory that Gideon had over the Midianites with just 300 soldiers. When Gideon put out the call for men to come and fight, 32,000 turned up. But after a process of elimination ordered by the Lord, Gideon was left with just 300. And he led these men into battle against an army that is described as being like grasshoppers for multitude. The primary point in this story is given to us in verse 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, "The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me." The Lord wanted Israel to understand that he was their God, not Baal, not Ashtoreth, but the one true and living God. And he was going to deliver them from the Midianites. That would be very obvious when it was this pitiful little band of men that won the battle, this puny force led by a fellow who wasn't exactly a picture of courage and fortitude. There would be no way that Israel could give itself credit for this triumph. No way it could boast in its own military might. It had to be the Lord who gave them the victory, just like he had done for their forefathers. That's what God was ensuring in this story, that Israel would see his hand. That's why it was 300 men, not 32,000. That's why it was Gideon and not someone else. And this was important in the larger scheme of things, because if Israel felt that it had saved itself, then it might as well keep on worshipping idols. Now, who needs the Lord? We can keep on doing what we're doing and get ourselves out of trouble if we have to. This is the big point in the way the story unfolds. This was the lesson for Israel and the lesson for us. Like he did for Israel, God often puts us in situations that force us to recognize the truth, to acknowledge reality. We are weak, he is strong, and we need him. We are entirely dependent upon him. All the credit is supposed to go to him and not to us. That's the sermon I suppose one would ordinarily preach on this text, but I want to preach a different one this morning. I want to shift our focus from God's big purpose in this whole narrative down to one particular part, and that is God's dealings with Gideon and the subject of fear. Now, fear is a funny thing. Fear is a fascinating emotion. Sometimes it's good and healthy. Fear protects us and helps us protect our loved ones. We should be afraid of brown snakes and rip currents. We should be afraid of letting our little children play with knives. But sometimes fear is terrible. Sometimes fear is debilitating. It stops us from enjoying life. It gets in the way of us doing things we ought to do. Anxiety really is a type of fear. It's the fear of what might happen. And as I'm sure you know, anxiety can be a dreadful burden. And there are those who suffer from extreme or irrational fears. We call these phobias. Xenophobia, fear of strangers. Agoraphobia, fear of open spaces, or claustrophobia, fear of enclosed spaces. Arachnophobia, fear of spiders. I suspect we have some arachnophobes in our midst this morning. I know Pastor Brendan suffers from ophidiophobia, that is a fear of snakes, and he's probably not alone in that. I found this one on the internet, so it must be a real condition. Pogonophobia. Apparently that's a fear of beards. Not something I suffer from, nor does my wife, thankfully. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Is it financial hardship? Losing your job, losing your house? And not being able to live the way that you do? Are you afraid of sickness or physical disability? Has that fear pushed you towards behaviour that is bordering on obsessive? Is there a knot of fear inside of you when it comes to your children? Is that what keeps you up at night? Is that what is always below the surface with you, and you just can't enjoy your children like you wish you could? You struggle to give them normal opportunities to let them experience certain things because you're afraid of what might happen. I've got kids. I know what that feels like. Are you afraid that if people really got to know you, they might not like you? You're afraid they might reject you, and so you just keep everyone at a distance. What are you afraid of? Now, we all have our own particular set of fears, and sometimes they are irrational and unhealthy. They rob us of our joy. They hinder our progress in the Christian life. They impact the way we interact with those we love, our spouse, our kids, our friends. Now, this unhealthy fear is not something that we have to live with. You know, I believe there is the tendency for some Christians to think that, well, I'm an anxious person, that's just me. You know, I have these fears that affect my life in these negative ways, and I just have to live with them. That's not true. That's not true. That's a lie straight from the devil's mouth. As God's people, as those who he has redeemed and regenerated, we don't have to be debilitated or hindered by fear. We don't have to have our joy stolen from us by fear. Over and over again, God says to his people, fear not. It's one of those commands we're familiar with, but we don't seem to let it sink in and impact us like it should. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 6. Our heavenly Father has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. In the story before us this morning, we have a man who was afraid. A leader. The one who was supposed to show the way in terms of courage. I want us to see how God interacted with him, how God ministered to him and helped him overcome his fear and fulfill his responsibility. And that will lead us to some lessons for our lives when it comes to dealing with fear. This is a very important subject. It's very personal. It's very practical. And we're going to consider the narrative under two headings. You'll find them on the outline, which is printed on the back page of the bulletin. First of all, we're going to see fear acknowledged. And then secondly, fear addressed. Fear acknowledged. And then fear addressed. And so, first of all, fear acknowledged. Now, after Gideon's army had been whittled down to just 300 men, the Lord spoke to Gideon and told him to, as it were, go on a reconnaissance mission. Look, please, at verse 9. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. And now look at verse 11. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. That was a fairly straightforward instruction. Go down to the enemy camp, get close enough to their tents to hear what they're talking about, and you'll realize that I have delivered them into your hand. You'll be encouraged, Gideon. And what I love about this is what the Lord said at the same time. Between verse 9 and verse 11 is verse 10. And please look there, verse 10. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah thy servant down to the host. The Lord was tender with Gideon, wasn't he? And gracious. Now, the Lord knew Gideon. Now, the Lord was aware of Gideon's frailty. Now, what was Gideon doing when we first meet him in the narrative, if you remember? He was hiding. He was threshing wheat next to the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. This is the guy who was so unsure, so nervous about the promises of God that he put out the fleece twice. The Lord knew what Gideon was like and he met him where he was and ministered to him. And really, this is beautiful. You know, Gideon, if you're afraid, that's okay. You take your servant with you. You take a friend. You know, face this challenge with someone beside you. You don't have to do this all by yourself. You know, I know this is a hard thing for you. Now, the Lord wasn't stern with Gideon. He didn't tell him to, you know, toughen up, princess. He didn't come to Gideon like the angry army sergeant who shouts and berates the new recruits. Nor did he pretend that Gideon was some fearless warrior like a Samson or a David. No, the Lord knew what kind of man Gideon was, and he acknowledged his fear. If thou fear to go down, go thou with fear of thy servant down to the host. Now, beloved, the good news is that God is the same way with all his people. He knows what we are. He recognizes our weakness. Now, our God, the one true and living God, is not a cold-hearted deity. He's not a tyrant in the sky who makes demands of us, and he's absolutely indifferent to our condition. If that's your vision of God this morning, then you've been misled. It's a false picture. It's a false impression of God. You're worshipping an idol. Listen to the words of Asaph in Psalm 78, verses 38 and 39, speaking of God's dealings with Israel. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. God knew that the children of Israel were but flesh, only human, we would say today. Weak and flawed and finite, messed up by sin, and he had compassion upon them. He was full of sympathy and grace. Then listen to the words of David in Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. A good father doesn't berate his three-year-old son for being afraid of the dark, does he? A good father doesn't harangue his 10-year-old boy for being afraid before he's wheeled into the operating theatre to have his tonsils out. A good father doesn't scold his teenage daughter for being nervous before her first day of work or before she gets up to give a speech at school. You know, there is an understanding that his child isn't as strong or as knowledgeable or as experienced as he is, and so he has compassion. And this is how God is towards his children. He knows our frame. He knows our makeup. He knows what we are. He is sympathetic. He is kind and gentle. And this aspect of God's character is clearly revealed to us in the person of Jesus, is it not? In the Gospels, we see Jesus all the time being patient and gentle. He was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. He tenderly ministered to men and women in all of their weakness and all of their sin. And if we've seen Jesus, we've seen the Father. We know what God is like. In his word and in the person of Christ, it's as if God says to us, I know you. I know that you're weak and broken by sin. And I know exactly what it is that causes you to fear. And that's okay. I love you. I care for you, and I'm offering you what you need to overcome that fear. This is our Father. This is what he's like. He deals with us as he did with Gideon. So first of all, we see fear acknowledged, and then secondly, we see fear addressed. Now, God didn't just recognize that Gideon was afraid. He also gave Gideon what he needed to overcome his fear and fulfill his mission. We've already noted the first thing God gave him. That was his servant Purah, verse 9. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah thy servant down to the host. Obviously, Gideon was afraid. Verse 11, then went he down with Purah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. God gave Gideon a companion, a colleague, a friend. And we can imagine how encouraging it was to have a friend. It's part of being human. It's how we're wired. When we're afraid, we don't want to be alone. And when we're not alone, we're less afraid. You know, we've been like this since we were kids. I'll go if you go with me. Heard that one before? I'll go if you go with me. Now, I'll step out into the dark. I'll go on the ride. I'll jump into the creek if you come with me. There's a great passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 that encapsulates this sentiment. It starts in verse 9 with these famous words, two are better than one. Two people together can do a better job. They can help each other. When one falls, the other can lift him. They can protect each other from danger. Our Lord Jesus recognized this when he sent out his disciples in Mark chapter 6. How did he send them? He sent them two by two. I can imagine Gideon and Purah whispering to each other as they crept towards the Midianite camp, smiling, sharing a joke, looking out for each other. I can imagine Gideon feeling so much better knowing that this man, this familiar face, this trusted companion was right there next to him. And God addressed Gideon's fear through his servant, and also by what he heard the Midianites saying among themselves. Look, please, again at verse 13. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped, returned into the host of Israel. Now God worked in a remarkable way. There was the Midianite soldier's dream, the interpretation that was given, And the fact that Gideon happened to be in the right place at the right time to hear this conversation. Now, this was no coincidence. This was the sovereign hand of the Lord bringing these things to pass for the encouragement of his servant. It happened just as the Lord said it would in verse 11. Thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. There was a person and there was a word. These were the means by which God ministered to Gideon when he was afraid. There was Purah and there was the words he overheard in the Midianite camp. And brothers and sisters, this is exactly how the Lord addresses our fears. He has given us a person and a word. The person is his own Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our friend, our companion. Just as Purah walked with Gideon down to the Midianite camp, so the Lord Jesus walks with us everywhere we go. If we've been born again into God's family, we are never alone. Now, Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Let that sink in for a moment. A very present help. Not just present, but very present. Now we can be present physically in the building and yet at the same time be absent. Maybe that's some of you this morning, I don't know. Physically present, but our mind and our affections are elsewhere, but that's not God. That's not our Lord Jesus. He is very present, even when there is trouble. He doesn't run away. He doesn't abandon us. He's there to help us. Listen to what Spurgeon wrote on this text. God never withdraws himself from his afflicted. He is their help, truly, effectually, constantly. He is present or near them, close at their side and ready for their succour. And this is emphasised by the word very in our version. He is more present than friend or relative can be, yea, more present than even the trouble itself. Isn't that good? More present than even the trouble itself. This truth is beautifully expressed in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The abiding presence of Jesus is the antidote to our fear. Because he is with us and he is God and he loves us, we can say and we should say, I will not fear. I will not be anxious. I will not let my fear of this or that rob me of my joy, of my birthright as a child of God. So the Lord has addressed our fear by giving us his Son for a Saviour and a friend, a constant companion. We need to be mindful of his presence. We forget that, don't we? We forget. He's with us always. We need to look to him and fellowship with him and allow ourselves to be encouraged by him, just as Gideon was as he walked towards the Midianite camp in the dark with Purah. But the Lord has not just given us a person, he's also given us a word. He's spoken words of promise, words of encouragement, words of consolation. They're right here in this book. Now, just as Gideon heard these Midianite men speak and his heart was strengthened, so we need to listen to God speak and allow our hearts to be strengthened. We need to listen to our Father. We need to listen to our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, brethren, the Lord speaks directly to our fears. Directly. We're afraid of death. Well, he tells us all about that, doesn't he? And what's waiting for us? We're worried about our finances. Well, he has quite a lot to say about that subject. But we're anxious about what might happen to ourselves or to our children. Well, he tells us over and over again that he's in charge. And we can see that's true as the story of redemption is unfolded to us. We're worried that people might reject us. Well, he makes it clear that he accepts us and he always will. He loves us and wants to be with us forever. Now, God has given us a word to quell all our fears, a word to assure us. The Apostle Paul makes this plain in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. He says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." God has spoken to our fears. There is comfort and peace and assurance for us in His Word. If fear has the better of you, it doesn't have to. If you're burdened with anxiety, you don't have to be. These are not things that you have to accept and live with. Our Father has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And He says to us over and again, "Fear not." Now, fear is a problem for you. You need to do what Gideon did. You need to take hold of God's provision. He knows you. He cares about your circumstances. And He has given you His Son and His Word, and they are more than sufficient. And Jesus famously said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that's the invitation today. Maybe some of you need to respond. You need to deal with this problem today, right now. This is the invitation today and the invitation every day. Jesus is God's solution to our fear. Let's run to Him. Amen.